Welcome to an inspirational message recorded live at Little Falls Christian Center.
Hallelujah. Yes, Father, what an awesome confirmation for the message that you've given us for this day. We will not be shaken, O Lord. No matter what comes, we are your children. And greater, O God, is he that is in us still today than he that is in the world. We thank you, Father, and we surrender the service to you now for the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we ask, and everybody say, amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Just want to pray before we do anything further. There's a prayer request here. It's for Joanna Aletta Meyer, and this person has severe Parkinson's, struggles to walk, very weak, emphysema, struggling to breathe, aneurysm in the brain. Lord, Acts chapter number 19, verse 12 says, when the aprons and the handkerchiefs of Paul was laid upon the sick, O Lord, they recovered, they were healed. We release the healing of Jesus' wounds into this cloth. When he touches this woman, Lord, that she will experience a mighty breakthrough and the healing of Jesus' wounds. In your name we ask it, and everybody say, amen and amen. If you can just rose, maybe get this to the back, please. Thank you so much. Well, praise God. This is half an hour that I have to bring you a message from the throne of God. And I want to tell you one thing. I am so convinced that there's not a person in this place that will not hear the word and the heart of God for you today. Because I prayed, and as I prayed, I saw your faces. Now, obviously, I don't know all of you. But in the prayer meeting yesterday morning, at one point I was so touched I could hardly speak. Why? Because the heart of God beats in our chest, and we feel and we know what others are feeling if we are in tune with him. So my topic this morning is standing strong through the storm. And that is obviously just a depiction of Jesus inviting you today to come and stand strong through your storm. I want to start with Proverbs chapter number 10, verse 25. And this is from the New King James. But in the NIV, it reads like this. You can follow on the board. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. The righteous stand firm forever. It has an everlasting foundation. If you are a child of God, you can stand strong no matter what storms the devil brings. And I want to, in this beginning of the service, say, you might very well this morning be in a storm. You might just have come through a storm. You might even just be on your way out of a storm. And unfortunately, some might be heading into a storm. Oh, the pastor just cursed me. No, it is the truth that there are storms on our pathway. Some of them we expect and some we don't. So storms will come. It does not make an appointment to say tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, I'm going to knock on your door and the storm will come. I've said this often, but I want you to understand, storms come to all of our lives. We are not exempt from these storms. Also, nobody is excused. Storms are very real, and unfortunately, the effects of storms are just as real. I know people, good, God-fearing Christians, that have come through storms, and even till this day, the scars of the storms are still evident in their lives. In Luke 6, verse 48, it's not on the board, but I just want to tell you, it says here, he is like a man. It speaks about the two people that were building their houses, the one on the rock and the one on the sand. Verse 48. He is like a man building a house who dug deep, laid his foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose, it did not say if the flood arose, it said when the flood arose. And it is the reality of life. I wish I could tell you that the day you came to Jesus, there was a guarantee, no storms ever again. I cannot give you that. Storms come to our lives. And in this week, I was confronted with so many people. A message from a mother whose daughter had a severe situation. Marriages that are crumbling. Both a man and another case, a woman, that at the end of this month in the natural will lose their house if God does not still that storm. There are people that got severe messages from the doctor, diagnosed from the doctor in this week. There's sickness, there's pain, there's work, there's finances, even people with animals that had very difficult situations. And I want to tell you one thing, if that storm knocks on your door, you cannot say, please go away and knock next door. It is for your address. It is coming. And you've got to stand strong through that storm. And what a wonderful confirmation, the song that Marie and them gave, the last one. We will remain standing and not be shaken. We know that Paul was familiar with this kind of storm. Now, there's three kinds of storm. There's one that Jesus rebuked, peace be still, and it's over. Oh, how I wish that all of them would be like that. But sometimes there is a storm where Jesus said, I'm going to walk with you on the water in the storm. It's going to last a while, but I'm going to be with you in the storm. He's going to be in your boat through the storm. And then there is the one that none of us want. This is the third kind of storm that Paul understood. And this is where Paul was in Acts chapter number 27, where he was on his way to Rome, and I preached a message on this, I think in 2013, about tempest tossed. You can find that. I'm not going to get into the detail of that because there's a lot of detail. But what I want you to understand, he had a word from the Lord before the storm even struck. I want you to have a relationship with the Lord that when the storms come, not if, when they come, that you will have a word of the Lord that will carry you through these storms. You cannot have a word from the Lord if you are distant from Him, if you do not spend time in His word, if you do not make an effort to build and strengthen your relationship with our Lord. So what was the word that he received? It was in Acts chapter number 27 and verse 23, where an angel of the Lord stood by him in that night. The angel of God stood by him. He says, to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. Listen to this. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. I want to say to you this morning, if you have that kind of relationship with the Lord and you know that God has a hope and a future for you and He's given you specific things, tasks to accomplish in your future, you cannot die before that thing is accomplished because my God cannot lie. So I want to ask you today, I want to challenge you, go and find a word that you can have in your future that will reel you in through difficult times. Have a word. You know that David could not die before his role on this earth was accomplished. Paul could not die before he did what God ordained for him. Do you know what you're ordained for? Or are you just waking up every morning and say, okay, what's this day going to bring me now? We need purpose in our lives. We need to know that there is an anchor for our souls, my brother and sister. So we need to survive the storms when they come. The definition of the word surviving is as follows, and this blessed me. The word survive. It means to continue to live or exist after coming close to dying or being destroyed, or after being in a very difficult or life-threatening situation. How many of us have not had those in our lives? I just look from my right to my left and I see people just here, one here, I'm not going to single you out. And then faces in the audience. People that have been in hospital with life-threatening situations, yet by the grace of God did you not survive. Hallelujah. Come on. Anybody here survived a storm? Give thanks to the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. We've got to remain steadfast in the storm. Ephesians 6 verse 13. Man, the song that they just sang blessed me. Ephesians 3 verse 16. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all, to stand. Having done what? All. We need to do our part. And then, oh my word, God will do His part. As sure as I'm standing here, He will do His part for you. The word withstand in the Greek is antihistami. Anti is against and histami is to cause to stand. It means to stand against or to oppose. James 4:7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil. It's that same kind of a thought. I have to do what God expects me to do. And then I tell you, God will do what He promised to do in His word. He will not leave you. You might even get to a point where you say, where is God now? God is with you. God is with you. He's just as real and as close to you in the storm as apart from the storm. Just picture a steadfast person standing firmly in place, not wavering or budging an inch. There is a picture that we all have seen. It's on the internet of this lighthouse that stands and the waves beating from behind and it's lifted up. You gotta stand like that. Immovable, strong. But we all know that when those storms come, it is the hardest thing to do. It is then that we ask questions and we begin to have wobbly legs, so to speak, in the spirit. This kind of a person will calmly hold firm to the chosen position. I don't care what life throws at me, I will stand. Having done all, stand. You should stand on the word of God. If you do not have a word or a prophecy, I pray that God will give you one. If you have a prophecy that you've maybe neglected or you've just put aside, I want you to go and take it off, dust it off, and put it where you can see it and say, my God, you cannot lie. I have a hope and a future. We should remain steadfast, stable, and secure in the storm. But we can only be secure in Jesus Christ. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not I can do all things, but through Christ. That is what makes the difference, being in Him and He in you. Please remember that all insecurity that you will ever face is not of God. All insecurity and even fear that you have is not of God. He's the one, the devil, that brings these thoughts against us. And I just looked around and I found some wonderful scriptures. I don't have time, it's a whole sermon on itself. But I have some lovely scriptures. And if you can write quickly, just write down these references, because this is what the word of the Lord is saying to you. Before I do that, who died for you on the cross? Jesus. You can trust the man that died for you. You can trust him. These scriptures. God is for us. Who can be against us? Romans 8:31. Do you know today that God is for you, not against you? Romans 8:31. Do you know that you are free from all condemnation? Romans 8 verse 1. Do you know that you can be assured that all things will work together for good for you because you are His child? Romans 8:28. Do you know that you are free from all condemning charges against you? Romans 8, 38 to 39. Do you know that you've been established, anointed, and sealed by God? 2 Corinthians 1, verse 21 and 22. Do you know that you can be confident that the good work he started in you will be perfected? Philippians 1:6. Oh, do you know that you're a citizen of heaven? Philippians 1:6. Philippians 3:20. Philippians 3:20. Do you know that you're hidden with Christ in God? Wow, Colossians 3:3. Do you know that you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind? Believe it, 1 Timothy 1:7. Do you know that you find grace, mercy, and help in times of need? Hebrews 4:16. Do you know that you're born of God and no evil can touch you without God's permission? Come on, get excited. 1 John 5:18. And the greater one lives in you, 1 John 4:4. Paul understood these things even before the New Testament was written, because he wrote 2/3 of it. But he understood God's heart. This is why in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 8, we read concerning this thing. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 8, concerning this thing. Now I just want to stop there. What is this thing in your life today? What is this thing in your life today? If you have this thing in your life today, take note. Because concerning this thing I pleaded, said Paul, with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, oh, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And verse 10, therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, in other words, in storms, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Don't be strong in yourself today, brother and sister. It's called ungodly pride. But if you understand that when you're weak and you shout out to God, help me, Lord, he says, today, you're the strongest you've ever been. I have just spoken to people here on the internet. You are strong today, even though you feel weak. When I'm faced with impossibilities, he takes over. Listen, I'm just going to quickly give you 2 accounts of storms and the disciples and Jesus. Jesus specialized in calming storms. He still does so today. So, a storm is a natural atmospheric disturbance. Just heard this morning, and I haven't verified it, but it seems as if the news said that Rhema's roof was blown off on Friday. Does anybody know? That's a storm. It did not say, listen, tonight, 6 o'clock, I'm going to come and this. No. It's a storm. Is that a house of God? Yes, it's a church. Storms come. But Jesus, we read, calms the storms. A storm is also a violent, sudden attack on a fortified place, which could be a Christian, to capture or attempt to capture it with a sudden, strong attack. Please turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 4, verse 35. Mark 4, 35. Storms come. Remember, it's the thief that comes to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Thank you, Rainier. You're a blessing. He's the one that puts all of these together for us. I honor you for that. Mark 4, 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us, now if you have your Bible and you underline, let us cross over to the other side. You see, Jesus knew in advance they were heading for a storm. The disciples didn't know, but Jesus knew. Do you think your storm is a surprise to Jesus today? No. Verse 36. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat. They took him along in the boat. They took Jesus with them as he was. And other little boats were with him also. Mark 4:37. And a great windstorm arose and wave beat into the boat so that it was already filling. I often say, it was not that the boat was in the water, but the water was now in the boat. Would you allow the waters of circumstance to come into your boat and threaten you to sink? 38. He was in the storm asleep on a pillow. One can preach a whole sermon on that. They awoke him and said, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you know how often I hear children of God, blood-washed, born-again children of God, crying out to God in my office saying, Lord, where are you? Do you not care that we are going down? He cares because he knew they were going into the storm. And then he arose and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, Peace, be still. And there was a great calm. Wow. He said to them also, Why do you have so little faith, etc.? I have to move on. Immediately is a word that you have to take note of. If you're a student of the Bible, just take a concordance and look at the word immediately in the Gospels in particular. Do you know that Mark uses the word immediately 40 times? In the Gospel of Mark, 40 times. There is a message about the word immediately. It's two things. When God talks, you have to listen and act immediately. But also, when God talks, circumstances have to listen immediately. No argument, hallelujah. So, Matthew 14, verse 22, 10 minutes, hallelujah. Matthew 14, 22. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. He did what? He made his disciples get into the boat. Knowing there is going to be a storm a second time. But there's a difference, and I don't have the time to get into it. But this time, the disciples were not in the place with Jesus, God, as they were supposed to be. So my brother and sister, take Jesus with you in your boat. If you cannot take him with you in your boat, don't go anywhere. But if you go without him, you've got to understand also that he still has his eye on you. His eye is on the sparrow and his eye is on you. So verse 24. Verse 24, but the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, for the wind was contrary. 25, now in the fourth watch in the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And then they shouted out, they were troubled, they thought it was a ghost. When you're in a storm, your discernment is blurred. Is that Jesus or is it not? And suddenly you run all over the show and you grasp at straws just to figure out. Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. That is a message from God for you today. If you are standing strong in a storm, be of good cheer. Rejoice, the Lord has not left you. Number two, it is I am with you in the storm. And number three, do not be afraid, because this storm, even though it might be devastating, even though you might come out scarred, you will live to give a testimony, come on, of the goodness of God, hallelujah. Verse 30. But Peter, walking on the water there, and he walked on the word, come, by the way. He was afraid. And this is a normal reaction. But immediately, verse 31, Jesus stretched out his hand and he caught him. Jesus, today, hear me. hear me. This is a word from God, says, come, walk with me on the water. I am with you and you will not go under. And if you cannot get excited about that, something is wrong with you. Hallelujah. Yes. I just wish I can master to stop the clock. Peter understood his authority. Behold, I have given you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and over all of the power of the evil one, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He understood that. Yet in that moment, the circumstances affected him that he began to sink. You've heard this a million times, but it's a rhema for some here today and those watching. I conclude, there is another time where you can shout and scream at your storm as much as you want to. It'll take its course. Sorry. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But there comes a time that you say, I'm weak. Help me. Carry me. Take me through. Now go to Psalm 4 in your Bible. Or on the notes. Thank you. Psalm 4 verse 1. I just want to close with this. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Verse 2. How long, O you sons of men, will you turn my glory to shame? How long will you love worthlessness and seek falsehood? Selah. Now verse 3. But know that the Lord has set apart for himself him who is godly. The Lord will hear when I call to him. Hallelujah. And verse 4. Be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. In verse 3, we see, but know that the Lord has set apart for himself. Verse 4, and be still. Keep that in the back of your mind. Now turn with me to Psalm 64. Psalm 64. And I'm going to close with this. Psalm 64. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. And listen to verse 5. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. Just at the break of dawn, at the break of dawn, at the break of dawn, the nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. He uttered his voice. And the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come behold the works of the Lord, even in your storm, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in fire. Now verse 10, and I just have to stand still for a minute. You see this verse in devotionals. You see this verse on t-shirts, on mugs, on posters. Be still and know that I am God. We often take this scripture to mean, be still and just know that he's God. Meditate on that and rest in him. Well, I had the surprise of my life. Psalm 4 gives us that idea. When God spoke here, listen. God spoke and he said, be still and know that I am God. He did not command you to meditate in quietness. Oh, hallelujah. And say, oh, I just rest in you. In the context of this verse, listen, this is what God says. Speaks to the raging nations, speaks to the storms, speaks to the circumstances that is coming against you today. And he says to the storm, be still and know that I am God. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet. Praise God. Come on, give him a good praise offering. He is speaking to your storm today. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, you speak to the storm today. And you say to that storm, still, be still. I am God. And what storm will not listen when he speaks in authority to it? If there is anybody here, no head, nobody looking around, every head bowed, I have to just conclude with this. If there's anybody here that say today, Pastor Tien, I have never given my life to the Lord. I might even be in a storm today, and I know that I am not a child of God. I'm narrowing it down specifically to people that say, I've never given my life to the Lord. Would you please be brave enough to leave your seat now and come and join me in front? Just give me 2 minutes more. I'm not going to put up hands and whatever else, but if you say, I've never really given my life to the Lord, just come out to the front. There's already people coming. If you say, I have backslidden, I am in a no good place with God, and today I want to make right, I'm giving you the opportunity to come forward. Just get up and come forward. I see people coming. Thank you. If I can just have some cell leaders and ushers and students to help me. Thank you, brothers. Thank you. Thank you so much. Somebody else, just come forward. I'm specifically narrowing it down. You've never given your life to the Lord, or you are backslidden and you need today to make right with God. The question is simply this: is Jesus in your boat or not? Thank you. I'm going to release you now. Please come tonight. It's going to be a wonderful evening in the presence of God. And Father, I bless each and every person in this place. In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we thank you because today you speak to our storms. And you, God Almighty, say, be still and know that I am God. We're standing, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, amen and amen.
For more teachings like this and other material, please visit our website at www.littlefallsonline.com.